Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Thank you, Blog Talk Radio. But now we're going to exchange over to Anchor FM. I invite everyone that's listening or watching tonight, if you have something to say, join Anchor FM is the URL. And it's a great website, and you can record your thoughts because all voices are need to be heard, I guess. We have a great show for you tonight. This is my first episode. I'm sorry if I'm rusty. I shouldn't be. But this is my first episode of The Last Question. It's dedicated to interviewing candidates, celebrities, and different people around the Twin Cities and the state of Minnesota and elsewhere that have some skin in the game, have something to say, and that will change or make change happen. And tonight, I'm very happy to have, without further ado, Ms. Tiffany Flynn Forslin. If I said that right.
You did.
Okay, thank you. She's joined us today on The Last Question, and she's running for Congress for the 4th Congressional District. Now, that's in St. Paul. Well, that's in Minnesota, but Tiffany, what areas around Minnesota does the 4th Congressional District cover?
So it's a big square chunk, 717,000 people within there. It runs up along the Mississippi River. Woodbury, Stillwater, comes across Mound Views over in the left corner, comes down Roseville, and then lower St. Paul and across.
And what was the number again?
717,000 people.
That's a lot of folks. Again, we'd like to welcome Tiffany Flynn Forslin to our show, or to my show, because I'm by myself. And she's running for Congress, and I know that I've looked at your website and a couple of messages here, and you're determined to win this thing.
To take my ideals, or actually I'm saying my voice is your voice, to bring that to Congress, changing things on a national level, would be very impactful to a lot of the things that are going on, especially since the George Floyd movement.
Yes, and what do you think, welcome again, what do you think is the state of the area or St. Paul? What state are we in? I mean, as far as what you're looking at, jobs, economic opportunity and responsibility from that federal level, and I want you to answer that, and then I want to talk about the incumbent and ask you some questions about that too, but go ahead.
From the federal level, you know, because I did run for city council in 2017.
Okay.
And I was a Humphrey Fellow, so I did a housing policy paper about the U.S. Bank Stadium before all these tent cities were coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was along those levels. So now on a national level, universal health care is definitely an issue. Education. Definitely an issue, and criminal justice. I've been working on that. My two big ones, I've been working on education and criminal justice lately. The other thing that I did not think about that really brought me into activism was family court reform and CPS, and that is definitely a national agenda as well. And it doesn't always get a lot of populace or attention, but it affects a lot of families and a lot of children.
Okay, Tiffany, let me ask you, are you running in the primary? Will your name be on some sort of form, or how did that work for you this year?
Yeah, so I've really been pushing the absentee ballot to have a large percentage of the primary. That would put me ahead coming in this race so late in the game. Of course, Betty McCollum has the DFL endorsement, even though I am a Democrat. I'm on the outreach committee for the DFL. And so the primary is a big one that I am shooting for.
So let me just get this straight. Okay. So you work or volunteer or whatever it is, you don't have to tell us, for the DFL, you're on the outreach committee. Betty McCulloch is the endorsed incumbent, of course. Is there any tension there that you'd like to talk about?
I have never actually met Betty that I can think of.
Oh, you're not missing anything, trust me. Go ahead, though.
and actually, Rondo Dave mm-hmm. last year, I believe it was, she had a table set up, and I actually thought the woman there was Betty. And she's like, oh, no, I'm not Betty, because I did want to meet her. I do pay attention. I think 7 years ago, I went to D.C. for a We Are Women rally for Equal Rights Amendment.
Yes.
And I remember being very enthralled. I saw her plaque on the door. But, you know, she wasn't there.
Yeah, she wasn't there.
and so they're kind of calling her a silent wonder. They're saying that she gets things done and she just isn't a social person.
Okay.
But I've been kind of saying I go to Golden Time and my friend, the owner, he's like, oh, Betty, now that's my girl. And I was like, but why? And so now when I go, if I'm there every morning, give my tip, I said, was Betty tipping you like this? He goes, oh, you're trying to sway me? And so he does have my campaign flyers at the restaurant.
That's very nice of that business to have your campaign flyers, because this is a very important race coming up in 2020. And again, you're listening to The Last Question with me, your host, Don Allen. And we have online Ms. Tiffany Flynn Florsland, right? I get that.
Right. Yes,
perfect. Perfect. It. Yeah. Well, we're glad to have you here. Yeah. I'm glad to have you here. And now, when I think about Betty McCulloch, she's been in office and been reelected time after time after time again. And and as a resident of St. Paul, I guess you have to live in St. Paul to even understand that there's no traction as far as economic goes for a lot of the people. And I don't think there's, not that this is her fault, but she's in it. And you can't drive by University and Snelling without someone out on the corner holding a sign. I'm all winter, all summer. So what that means in organizational design or organizational communication or communication health is that there's something wrong with the system. Now, be it these people might have mental illnesses, they might be homeless, a lot of them are. There might be a series of different things happening to them to put them out, because, you know, to stand outside on a corner with a sign, all your pride, any good self-esteem is gone. I don't care who's doing it. Okay. And that's a problem that should be addressed also. But getting back on the Betty train, like, I haven't seen her in forever, and that's been the whisper campaign around in the community. This year, we want to talk to these people, these elected candidates, these elected officials that are running for office again. And we have this list of 10 things that we want to ask them. But, you know, she's missing in action, is D.C. and on the streets of St. Paul. So say you're elected. I mean, I'm crossing my fingers. Of course, this show remain objective. We don't endorse anyone. We're not the Star Tribune or anybody else, but you know, we're just a little fish in a pond. But say that you get elected. What is your first? You're not going to get elected and start tweeting against Trump, right?
No.
Okay.
No.
Cool. We got someone that's going to do the work. Finally. Oh my God.
I do say President Trump because he is the president. He was elected. Just as much as I was happy for President Barack Obama.
Yes.
And the thing that I said with President Trump, and my students would get confused because they would think, oh, you want Trump as president? I mean, no, I don't. But the thing that happened is we've had the most change ever with him in office because of his views and because of his decisions. We had the Me Too movement, which had 60,000 women here.
Mm-hmm.
We now have this George Floyd movement, which is a Black Lives Matter, which is basically anti-racism movement. Those things would have never happened without him in office. I used to be on the Gender Justice Board.
Okay.
And we were losing funding. Like, it was getting really scary. I was on there 3-4 years, and it was getting really scary about funding. But then he made a comment about LGBTQ. Well, then all of a sudden money shifted and gender justice is doing well, and they doing an Unrestrict Minnesota campaign right now. But those kind of things, he has created the most change that we've had. And we wouldn't have had that if Hillary was president.
Wow. You have to win. We're talking with Democrat candidate for Congressional District 4, that's St. Paul, Tiffany Flynn Forslund. Why am I having trouble with that F?
And everybody does. Okay. It's Swedish. It actually means river through the trees.
Okay. Tiffany Lynn, river through the trees. At night?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. If you're with us on the last question, we can take your phone calls. Our call-in number is, 347-426-3904. Again, that number is 347-426-3904. If you have a question for the candidate, can you tell me some of the things that you've done? I mean, kind of a mini CV or resume. I mean, I'm not trying to qualify you by the least, because I know people that can run a whole city that didn't graduate from high school. But just so our listeners get familiar with who you are, what you're about, you're an unapologetic Black woman, and I read that piece, and it would sound better coming out of your mouth. But, you know, give us a little bit so they get to know you, please.
I guess definitely the unapologetic Black comes from all the things that happen to you or don't happen to you, the missed opportunities or that you have to navigate being a person of color. So I have always had to work harder. I've always had to, if something didn't work, go around, try something else.
Yes.
So that I got a very strong sense of resilience, and I have a very strong sense of what's wrong and what's right in making those things right. And I've definitely, like, I've helped many people, and I don't want to, navigate government. I helped them in custody cases, the family court. I've helped, I'm helping a young man with housing. Kind of like what you said, the word no.
Yeah.
No. Oh, I will figure out a way to get that done, based on principle. And I, value humanity. I value everyone, similar to what you said. I live in Frogtown. It was where I could afford to buy a house. And Frogtown has one of the lowest income of the whole city.
Yeah.
And I was at the gas station one time. I know I'm getting a little bit up. And
no, go ahead, please.
The gas station owner made this comment about, these people need to work harder. Talking about Frogtown residents.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of a Republican Democrat type of comment, and I let them be to some extent. But I was like, people are working hard. I just talked about this, where policy is set up and looked down on people of color. That why can't you get it together? You need to work harder. What is wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
And not knowing that we are doing our best, and the stakes are high, and it's a tough place to navigate. I'm reading this right now, which is really good. What doesn't kill you makes you blacker.
Oops, there it is. Yes, that's a good book.
Yeah, right. And I was just explaining this. I had a really good talk with a woman today. She's a strategist, and you have to find a space. Even though I know the realities as a Black person, you also have to find a space that makes everyone comfortable. And that is something I am good at, because even though I know systemic racism and I know my hurdles, of which I know it's not been easy owning my color. I had privilege at one point. I worked in the stock brokerage. I wasn't fulfilled. So now that I have a tougher battle, now that I do community, trying to change social justice and try to get rid of racism, I'm busier, but I'm more fulfilled. I have a purpose, and it makes a place for me that didn't exist before.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense. So let's talk about racism here for a minute. We live in a state which has some of the widest and broadest gaps between light people and dark people. Excuse me. And I heard you talk about social justice. And I'm the one that puts social justice on the scale with economic justice, and economic justice
yes.
wins every time. Okay. So with that said, how in Congress, where do you think you would start? I mean, I know you don't have the job yet, but you might possibly get the job. So where do you start at in a state like Minnesota? Because you definitely would not go to Washington, D.C. to start in Minnesota, because you have to heal something here first, right?
Right.
For
right.
it to work before you got to Washington. So where do you start? And let me add a little bit more to this, because I'm going to let you talk. This is going to be your night. Where do you start to reorganize and deal with the trouble, economic and social unemployment of a state that is supposedly nice, Minnesota nice, but that has a lot of meanings depending on who you are.
Right.
I never heard no one down south say Mississippi South, you know, because if you go down south, and it's a difference. I'm not racist at all. I don't think I have a racist bone in my body, but I can dislike some folks. Okay. I'll put it like that. I might dislike some folks. But I know that when I go down south past Chicago, y'all going to Chicago, say you're going down south. That's not south. That the white people, the business white people, if they don't like you, they have no problem with telling you. They disagree with you. They have no problem with telling you that. But when you get here, someone could bust you in the head with a rock and you turn around, you won't see them. You don't know where this stuff is coming from. And this is, I'm not imagining this at all. You know, but as a black man, you know, this is the stuff that you see. I try not to dwell on it. But when you think about what we're to label right now racism, the obstruction from economic success by another group of people is my definition. How do you address that here before you get to D.C. to make this all come together?
Well, that's a good question because, we're talking about the bootstraps.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to come to Minnesota where I'm not from here. I didn't have relatives from here and come to co-parent. And so I have 14 years business experience. A.G. Edwards, they hear my voice.
Mm-hmm.
They have my resume and my name. They hired me over the phone.
Mm.
So I call them. Oh, I drive 5 hours. Oh, I'm here. Like, oh, come on in. I go in. They tell me we don't have that position once they see the color of my skin. So, again, that's another. So then I have to navigate. So then I go back to school. I mean, so that took away my income. That made my move that much harder. And so this has to be known in Washington. This is one of the greatest things I liked about Cory Booker, who I supported for president. He went, and even though he has Ivy League education, he went and lived in the projects to know what the need was there.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say, just from me struggling to survive and raise my kids, I've had Section 8 housing. I've been kicked out of places. I've been homeless. I can say somebody just laughed because my car has really good heating and really good air conditioning. I said, oh, yeah, I've got a really good homeless car here. I'm going to be warm if I have to sleep in this thing. Which is sad that I even know those things, but that is what my lifestyle designated. When I gave up, I was married to a white man who was abusive, narcissist, sexist, racist, you name it. When I gave that up and began my journey with the color of my skin, my whole life dynamic changed. And it became... rough, tough, and I did it, and that's what I'm going to take. That's what I have to take to Washington
mm-hmm.
to say, look. And so, you know, I'm someone who gets their feet wet. So I'm not going to jump into something that I'm not sure about, but it, like, I saw on Ballotpedia it asked about committees. So I'm gonna go, like, I know I'm big on health and human services. I know the data. I know what's happening and how we can change statistics, especially on people of color. Like, here in Minnesota, we have 23% children of color. 55 to 60% of those children are in out-of-home placement. That's trauma.
Yeah,
that's huge. And the same thing is with incarceration. When a person of color getting arrested, traffic stops, the data is flipped upside down. And same with the education. The data, you know, we got this 23% of kids enrolled in schools, but then the suspension rates are high, the not graduating is high, the too high for the population of the people that's here.
Okay, let me cut in real quick and ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not gonna put words in your mouth. I was getting ready to, but what has Congresswoman Ilhan Omar done to change the dynamic of Minneapolis and St. Paul? Because she is a celebrity.
Right.
Okay. And she has a strong, powerful voice in D.C. And she's been there for a few years.
Yes.
So what has she done to fix what you're talking about, what James Baldwin talked about in 1965, which you could take 1965 right. and put him on this show, and everything that he says from 1965 is exactly what's happening today.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So what?
The lesson I gave my kids, Baldwin and the debate.
Mm-hmm.
Baldwin,
Buckley. William F. Buckley.
Yes.
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 Yeah.
And that still relates to Kaepernick.
Yeah. And so, again, on the point, on the question, what has she done to fix this?
So,
with this voice, I know you all both Democrats. I know you all both Democrats, and that's your girl carrying on. But tell me, you might have to work with her.
So I had heard that she hadn't done too many things, and I haven't specifically looked it up. And then the commercial I heard today, they said that she voted on the COVID money so that kids had food with school out. It was a $300 million bill or $30 million bill. That was the only thing that Keith Ellison said in his little ad of what she
did. Oh, he has a commercial for her. That's sweet.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing. See, and you know what, I don't want to deem white. When it comes down to it, she's a black woman, and I mean, I'm married to a black woman, so I don't want to, like, get into the black woman thing at all. But when you're a politician and you say you're going to represent, but you don't really represent, you do the celebrity dance. I mean, that's cool. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, the Kardashians are famous, and I still can't figure out their talent to this day. Okay.
Right. I read all about her little personal things. I wasn't
going to
go into those.
Yeah, I don't even care. I don't. You know what? I don't care. You know, I'm a Republican. I don't care who you sleep with. That's none of my business. Okay?
Right.
Just don't be trying to marry no rabbits, ducks, or frogs. Excuse me, or frogs. We're cool. I'm about to crack up. But here's the deal. So you're in Washington. You have a powerful voice. You might or might not have to work with Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. Say she's walking down the hall for the first time, you bump into her. What do you say to her?
Well, I know Ilhan. I was her delegate when she won over Phyllis Kahn. Phyllis Kahn was not a happy camper.
I remember that.
And I did go to her ceremony because I was still in Ward 6 at the time. So, I mean, I have a picture with Ilhan, my grandbaby's holding her earring. So, but then she kind of, once she kind of blew up, I can't reach her personally like I used to be able to. She even came and talked at Laura Jeffrey when I worked there for me. But I don't have that relationship with her anymore as she kind of blew up. And so we would have a good conversation. But you know who I admire very much is Ocasio she gets the numbers and the data, and she calls out the non-common sense work I want to be. I admire how she finds, because I put bureaucracy fact-checking. There's so many processes that we have that are federal to state, similar to, this is another good thing I learned from Dr. Meyer's program, but between Xcel Energy and Community Action, they give all that money out for Community Action for people, for their energy bills. They're not helping them. They could be fixing the energy issues so that it's not that high. They would eventually not need any assistance, depending on what it is. And then Xcel is winning off both sides of that because they get federal dollars for those programs. And and they like have their energy programs. And so regular people pay to take advantage of those and get a rebate. But the dynamic that needs the things fixed to lower the money that they get from energy assistance, there's no way they would have the money to pay up front and wait for a rebate. Otherwise, they're not feeding their kids. And so that whole system needs to change. So so to tie that into Ocasio, she kind of finds that money in how something is working against each other. And that's what needs to stop, because that's going to generate money that can go other places.
Well, your opponent in this race for, again, we're talking to Tiffany Flynn Forslund. She's running for Congress in the 4th Congressional District of Minnesota, which is St. Paul and some surrounding area here that she mapped out earlier in the show. And you're listening to Anchor FM, The Last Question with me, Don Allen. Our phone lines are open at 347-426-3904. Again, that number is 347-426-3904. I see it on the screen. I said it right. So let's get back on point. Betty McCullough, you're running against this person who has been an institution unto herself. She has a set list of players, actors, and you see systems that are cannibalizing off each other, you know, robbing Peter to pay Paul. At the federal level, when Congresswoman McCullough deals in, I mean, we have our MnDOT. I know it's a state agency, but they get federal dollars all the time, and they're notorious for getting, you know, $60 million and giving out of that to an able-bodied black contractor no more than like $1,000. I mean, I have the reports on the computer that say this. That we could be here for hours talking about that. Shouldn't the congressperson for the 4th Congressional District, where MnDOT, the Minnesota Department of Administration, the Minnesota Department of Health, et cetera, all get federal funding? Shouldn't that congressperson have some kind of hands-on, like, hey, you're getting this federal money, but you're not being above board with it. Your policies, your good faith efforts. There's one thing at the state, it cracks me up. It's for the Minnesota MnDOT. If a contractor, they say you have to have so many people of color, ethnic blood working on a
30%.
Job. Yeah, and all they have to do is put in a good faith effort. You know what that means?
Right.
Oh, I got a homeboy. His name is Don. He's black. I'm going to call him and see if he'll work for me. What's up, Billy? How you doing, man? I said, hey, hello. Can you come work for me? I already have a job. Click. That's a good faith effort right there. No less. So I think that Congresswoman McCullough is in a position to redo that policy. But for like 19 years, it's been basically the same because they've been out of compliance more than 25 years. So how will you address, you know, significant cash flow from the feds that she signed off on? Of course, you know, nothing goes here without her having something, or the senator or someone, or her that has a congressperson, but all the people for St. Paul know that it's coming. So how do you fix that? I mean, what are ideas you might have?
Well, it's going to have to be gone through. Like, I'm going to have a staff we're going to have to check data. Systems have to change. And that's interesting that you mentioned about, that good faith effort. In fact, a couple years ago, Tim Wise, he was the speaker for the construction union meeting, whatever they had, and he straight out stated the 30%, because I believe there are 30% construction people of color at this point, but he also noted that that is not enough, because if we're actually working towards people's talent, we don't even have to gauge the percentage of color that's anywhere. It should just be a natural formation.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the problem we have.
Mm-hmm.
And so knowing that it's by design, and that was something I was going to tackle when I was running for city council, because it's wrong. And a lot of times a white wife or woman is put in the position as a minority not to have
all the time
a black male.
Okay.
And so it's a huge issue. So then it has to get to the bureaucracy fact checking, like I mentioned on my website. Everything needs to be looked through. Everything, it is not hard to find. It is not hard to look at the policy. I'm going to shout out to Nakima Levy Pounds.
Okay.
Actually, when they came out with that diversity bill a few years ago, she had rifled through it and found out that it really did not work for people of color or low socioeconomic.
Okay.
And ended up getting it restructured. So those are the things that need to be done. And if Betty was really doing her job, those are the things that she would be doing, because we have so much upside down policy. And it's been so long that people just tried, like, the reason why the incarceration system is the way it is because we want to just put everybody away. We don't want to see them. And we know for a fact
yep.
it doesn't deter crime.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Just quickly here, because I know that you're really familiar with city politics, even though you're running for Congress. And I've been trying to what's up, Brother Rashad Anthony Turner? You next.
He's gonna get me.
Yeah. He's really cheering you on. He's a good brother. But my question, and Rashad will like this too. What the hell is Mayor Carter hiring a planning director from Oklahoma? Are there no talented people in the St. Paul, Minneapolis?
Right.
What's that about? You know.
I know. I've tried to get in there myself.
I mean, I'm looking at this blonde hair, green eyes, smiling, blinking. I'm like, wait a minute. This is. I know you've seen this. I know I'm not imagining this at all whatsoever. It's when some of us get in charge, we don't even look in our backyard. We don't look in our backyard. But what we do look does not look like us, number one. Number two, doesn't live in the area. And number three, has some erotic fetish attraction because they're from out of town.
Yeah,
and
that doesn't even make sense.
It doesn't make any sense at all. But it just popped up on my computer, and I damn near fell off my chair. Because that's a bad hire. I'm sorry. I have nothing against it.
And to that, to my point, when I go to Congress, everybody's coming with me.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the voice, the change that needs to happen. It doesn't mean kicking out the white people. It just means building a community that can work together.
Okay, I agree 100%. You know, it's how are you? If people want to send money to you, I don't like to wait till the end of the show to do this because we got right under 30 minutes. I like to get this out now so that we can say it a couple times. But, you know, I'm a conservative, and if my conservative friends are listening or watching, I would like you to donate to this campaign, help this campaign out. And no, I'm not endorsing it. It just sounds something refreshing. I'm wondering why she can't run as a Republican and get endorsed. Okay, I'll stop. But the thing is, you know, I think you guys should support her. So where do they go to donate? Is there a website or something?
So I have my website, www.let-us-rise.org. Every way you want to pay is available.
Huh. There you go.
F Flu, CrowdPack, Cash App.
Cash App's a winner.
PayPal. Yeah, you name it. I have it. With the funding, it's all campaign induced so that I can do the things, signs, literature, knock on doors. As Rashad knows, him and I, we knocked on those doors. Rashad is the real deal. I was his campaign manager.
Mm-hmm.
So, and anybody who knows me knows that I put the hard work in. I'm all about hard work.
Okay, yeah, and I believe that. I was just going over your website, reading all the... I mean, I looked at Betty's website, who has 19 years, and I looked at your website. I says, your website, even smaller than Betty's, has more information than Betty's. And I don't mean to call her out of her name or anything like that. I'm frustrated. As someone that was born and raised in St. Paul and then moved back to live in the city he was born in with his family, you know, I'm seeing a lot of potholes.
And I've had to ask a lot of people and say, oh, no, Betty.
Betty McCullough.
And then I'll ask them, well, what has she done?
Mm-hmm.
And then they don't have anything to say.
No, they don't. They don't even haven't seen her. Like,
And I like to mix things up. The first things, I'm going to get my feet wet.
Mm-hmm.
And I always fill out, like if I'm going to start school, I usually take one class, get my feet wet, and move forward. But to get in Congress, I would be a busy, busy person trying to figure out who does what, where I need to go, and how to start getting things worked on that need change.
Okay. And I'm glad that you, I know it was kind of like, well, it wasn't last minute because it was a week before the show. No, it was like over the weekend. And I'm pretty apprehensive when I approach people because I have this reputation of being the Republican assassin, as they call it. And a lot of people don't like to talk or open up. And you being a Democrat running for the DFL primary, you know, I thought I might get some blowback. But we've interviewed everyone from Senator Roger Chamberlain to House Representative Ray Dean, and we've always been respectful. I am respectful, and I appreciate you being here.
But to that, education reform is a Republican bill. So when I do. I first started with education reform with Students First and LIFO being an issue. Even though I'm not anti-union, there could be restructuring there, and I did have a lawsuit. That those are Republican reforms
Sorry, go ahead.
Because they make sense to me. So I'm going to be a critical thinker first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm not a follower.
And we know that the education bill, there's a couple in there. There's one from the state or education, MDE, and then the Republicans are leading the charge. And I think they're good bills. I think there needs to be a little tweak in the teacher licensing part of it and for the education. Because what's happening now, and I know you know this, so I'm just kind of singing to our listeners, everybody who's watching in the background. There's you can go to college for 4 years, go to graduate school for another 3.5, close to 4 years, get a couple degrees, couple 3 degrees by then, and you could want to be a teacher. And after you spend in excess of $225,000, depending on where you go, okay, I went to an expensive school, but it was a prestigious school. And so I'm not even going to mention their name because I'm upset with them right now. So, but anyway, I went there. And then I said, I'm going to be a teacher. Blah, 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 blah. Why not? And I go to the state. They said, well, we don't care where you went to school. You got to take a test.
Yeah.
And I said, wait a minute. I took the test. I didn't argue. I went and took all the blasted tests. But the thing is, those tests do not tell a principal how good a teacher you are in a classroom.
Right.
And I'm saying take the responsibility of licensing away from this group and give it to that principal for that first year teacher after they graduated from college and let that principal make the decision and let his team rather than this group. I think we'd have more Black teachers, more Asian teachers, more Hispanic Latino teachers, more Somali teachers, more Korean, I mean, across the gamut. Because right now we're stuck out there. And if this bill will address that, I mean, they have these teachers. I don't mean to go on a rant, but you got me going there when you said education. We have these teacher of color groups in Minnesota. Oh, my poor black people, blah, you know, and they're on some BS, number one, because it's a money glut into their universities, actually. And so it doesn't help anybody out. And so with that said, as a if you're elected to Congress, let's put it like this. And if Trump is reelected, will you, because you know he is going to get reelected, it's going the same way it did in 2016. I'm not endorsing it. I'm not saying anything, but I'm just telling you what's going to happen. Will you collaborate with Betty DeVos and that group in education? Will you sit on an education committee? Would you put your foot down on behalf of the citizens in the 4th Congressional District as well as the state of Minnesota?
Oh, definitely. Definitely, because our kids are our most important pieces,
mm-hmm.
and that's probably why I'm at a charter school. I have the freedom to give Black history and build those students up strong. I did Southern Hopkins for a little bit, and I need to be in these urban environments because these kids need us.
Yes, absolutely.
And that is what I can bring to D.C. And trauma-informed practice is so important. And these kids should like school. They should be able to like school. And it isn't always about testing, and it isn't always about curriculum. I think now it's more about let's give them a self-esteem and a self-concept that they can work with to achieve the grades, the curriculum, and a future, no matter what it is.
I agree 100%. It's very important. For those of you that just tuned in or you're listening on Anchor FM, we're interviewing. We're sitting here and we're speaking with Tiffany Flynn, Florissant, I have to look at your name again. She's running for Congress. She's running for Congress in St. Paul, Minnesota, for our international or domestic and international listeners. And we think she has a good chance. I know there's a primary. Oh, let me ask you this. So if there's a primary, well, there is a primary. And
August 11th.
And so what are the chances of Congresswoman McClellan dropping out if she doesn't win the primary? What would stop her? Because to me, it seems like she would keep going, like everybody else is. Jeff Hayden, Raiden Dean.
Well, I know a lot of people have told me they would love, they want her, they want to see her. It very much reminds me of Eric Fulton. A lot of protests trying to get Eric Fulton to show himself, and he never would.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people would like to see a forum, would like to see us talking and see where she stands. And I don't know if that's going to happen. I mean, I'll invite her. But I think she's very comfortable. Nobody has come near close. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, she has the backing of some local media here, plus some really huge power brokers.
You know what? I looked up her donations, too. And I was surprised to see a lot of casino money. And my thought went to why with the genocide and the oppression that sits there, why would they be putting all that money there?
Hey,
federal, makes sense to me.
You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. But we're not going to tell anybody. And that's common. They make movies about those kind of conspiracy theories or those scandals. And it's really strange because now that you mentioned that, I remember seeing something a few years back where they it showed in that FEC report, I think you're talking about, the casino money, and I just said, wow, this is deep. It's real deep. So I don't know what's gonna happen. But anyway, getting back to your congressional run, do you have any parade, any events set up that you'll be at in the next couple of days here?
So August 1st, we are doing a donation drive under, Minnesota Parent Union, Get Out the Vote, and my campaign. And it's going to be right at my house in Frogtown, the lowest, income area. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm having my students come and help, and the community is going to be there. and we're having that August 1st. So I would love anyone to come, check me out, have a conversation, and enjoy. It's going to be a community event.
Yeah, and now you have someone who's running for Congress that's accessible, that's not invisible. I mean, we should at least see the congresswoman somewhere at some time, and I haven't seen her anywhere. So that's very interesting. Have you talked to her at all since?
I have not. She used to be on Selby. I looked her up, like where her office is, and she's got one in Whitehaven, one in Woodbury, and then she's got a satellite one somewhere, and it really wasn't clear with COVID where that might be. And I guess I could try to make that call and see what happens.
Now, that would be very interesting, to say the least, but just to figure out, you know, what's going on there, you know, with her, just maybe we send a spy in, you know, your campaigns,
right.
Different campaigns are good for sending spies in different places. I just heard a pretty funny.
The sad thing is that the lives of people physically show what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
The data, like the one Minneapolis report, I know when I was going to school, the earliest data I could find on education was 2008. None of those pieces are changing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand how anybody could be in office doing the same thing, thinking that that is going to mend anything, help anything, or change anything. That means you're purposely doing it.
Yeah, or they can't see it. You know, I'm a firm believer in Hanlon's razor. I says that people sometimes don't do things out of malice. It's out of simple stupidity because they don't know any better. A lot of people, like in our Black community, you know, there's no reason, and you might agree or disagree. I don't, it doesn't matter at this point, because I like you and you're cool, even though you're a Democrat. So, but the thing is, at this point, it's a shame that nobody in the state of Minnesota owns any of Prince's estate, number one.
Mm.
Okay? The people who run Elvis Presley's in Memphis runs this one out here in Chanhassen. And so you're looking at this. You're looking at the catalogs of music. You know, all this stuff worth almost billions of dollars. There's nobody in our community where Prince came from, South Minneapolis, Minneapolis Central, between 38th and 34th, and then over in this area. There's no one that's going to benefit from any of that because, you know, maybe unity is our weakness, you know, maybe. But there hasn't been, and you're looking for these people. I mean, there's some big names, but the big names are 77, 80 years old. You know, so we need a change in the matrix, for lack of a better term, in St. Paul, in Minneapolis, in the state of Minnesota. But
and another problem where that exists is nonprofits.
Oh, my God. Don't get me going.
There are so many nonprofits that are white run with a Black front. And I was at a Minneapolis Historical Society when they wanted to brand people of color. They wanted to give money to those agencies, and they wanted to help nonprofits, and they were going to exclude so many Black people. They work under, I can't remember the term. They don't have the 501(c) themselves. They work under like some sort of stipend program under somebody else.
A fiscal fiduciary agent.
Yes. And so, that still speaks slavery to me.
Big time.
And making sure they have the control over, I mean, that makes no sense. It shouldn't.
Yeah. So are you the type of person that think nonprofits should have an expiration date?
Oh.
I mean,
expiration date.
And let me explain that because it's unfair just to throw it out there. But I read this story, this report by Cura a few years back. And learn, I already knew it, but it was documented there's about 230, 240 nonprofits in an area in Minneapolis, in North Minneapolis. They do everything from get kids shoelaces and tennis shoes to get people's hair done. That's from bottom to top. That's what they're saying. But if you look at the area where all these nonprofits and all this, not all of them are funded by the state, city, or county, or anybody else, or but some by private donations, some aren't making any money at all whatsoever. And so why would there be 240 nonprofits addressed in a couple mile vicinity from the Minneapolis Urban League in North Minneapolis and nothing gets done?
Right.
And
right.
Why does the Urban League still work with poor people? Let me explain that, because that sounds rude when I said that, but I don't mean to be rude. When the Urban League was originally created in out on the East Coast, it was created by white folks and black folks to serve the middle class blacks in the United States. Because if they are financially sound, that's where business ideas come from. They knew that small business is the backbone of America, and a lot of these creations, these inventions, and these businesses were coming from middle-class black communities.
Right.
But somewhere, somehow, someone lured them into the work with the poor game. Okay? When they didn't have to, and all the people hungry now would not be hungry if the Urban League was working with middle-class, educated black folks to help the lower, what's called the lower one-third of the community. I'm not dissing any or disrespecting anybody, but that's what you call it. You know, it's better than the lower class or low class. It's just the lower one-third of the community. And that's a self-correct. Again, poverty, as you know already, Tiffany, is man-made. Poverty is man-made. And we can turn this around. But I'm under the experience here in Minnesota that if you get in the room and you have any bit of an education or you have an idea or a vision, you become a threat.
Right.
You know, and I don't want to be, I don't want to become a threat for anybody. But at some point, obviously, you were at that point because you decided to do something about it. You decided to run for Congress, which is a big, huge, terrifying, I would never do it, step. So, I mean, I appreciate you going out there doing what you need to do and doing this and talking to me and doing all this PR. And I know you're not getting any rest. You're running around, face
right.
mask, COVID-19, everything's crazy because COVID-19 made it real, real, real crazy. But I guess my question to you, and we have about 7-8 more minutes and we're fine.
Okay.
How do you, if there wasn't COVID-19, well, let me rephrase that. Have the Star Tribune, the St. Paul Pioneer Press, any of these radio stations, television stations, or any of these folks call you? Have you done interviews or anything at this point? Or will you?
No. So I am state director for Minnesota on Unite Women at Work.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do a I Am Running piece for me.
Mm-hmm.
The Villager, they just sent an email, so I sent my stuff into them. So so I'm happy about that, Highland Park Villager,
mm-hmm.
in that area. But otherwise, no.
Mm-hmm.
We are trying. We're trying to get in touch with Angela Davis.
You almost made me want to have a drink. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Right. So we're trying to get in those spaces because I have a short amount of time with the primaries, August 11th. I'm really pushing the absentee ballot. I'm flyers on doors. It is a tough place to navigate with COVID. And this is different from when I ran before because I just ran into people. And, oh, here's my check. Oh, blah, blah, blah. So it is a different time. And I'll admit I'm getting a little frustrated, but I don't give up. Just like you, when somebody says no or what, I try to figure out, like, how can I fix this? How can I get to these people? So I use a Nextdoor foundation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm using what and who I know in whatever areas there are. I am thinking and pulling and doing what I can.
Well,
it would be nice to have that.
Yeah, I mean, I there's no reason. There's a guy from Channel 5 who was watching this. His name is Jay Coles, and I think they should have you on the air. I think Tim Nelson, who's my friend on Facebook, I'm going to tag him with this as soon as we get done. He's not my friend in person. I don't think he likes me in person, but on Facebook, he's my friend. And And so a lot of reporters are my friend, I guess. And so I think that they should, it should be a fair shake. Because in St. Paul, especially, you know, I'm not going to touch the Minneapolis thing because that's going to implode on itself shortly. But
right.
But the St. Paul thing, they just can't keep Betty. It's not doing that.
My friend Margaret, she's on K5. She's got me.
Okay. Well, we'll see what we can do around here. But, I mean,
I appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate you having you here. And this is not going to be the last time we're going to talk because we got from now to November. And if you have to come in on the Saturday show or, again, next couple weeks or so after you get, you know, figure out the primary. What's the primary, by the way?
It's August 11th.
So how can people vote for you now?
Right now, and I need to check because, okay, so you need to do your absentee ballot. They sent an envelope, a white envelope that said voter participation on it, but nobody knew what that was.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people may have gotten rid of it like junk mail, but that was your form to send in and get your absentee ballot. When you get the ballot, then my name is on it. And I've had people send it to me and show it to me like, hey, I voted for you. So that's very exciting.
And do you have to be a Democrat to vote in the DFL primary?
No, I don't think so, because it has Saul Lowe or whatever. He's a Republican running.
But he's running as a Republican. He's not in the DFL primary. So I wonder, how does that work?
Well, so you know what? It is a DFL thing. It's all a DFL. So, yeah, you do.
See, you have identified the problem in the Twin Cities. The DFL. Now stop.
Yeah. Some people think it is.
Yeah. I mean,
you can't
knock them, because I'm going to tell you, being a conservative or a Republican for all these years, neither party really talks to me. You know? And you would hope the Republicans would talk to you. So I'm kind of a centrist. I mean, for this, if I can vote and get away with it ethically, I'm going to go ahead and go get one for my wife and me. We're going to put your name on it. But if they say that it's foul or you shouldn't do it, then I will not do it, you know.
Right.
But that's just me.
I don't think that matters.
Yeah, it's just me personally. And it's good, you know, Rashad just said, you should have to pick a side is what he said. I said, I'm not picking no sides yet, you know. But the thing is, you know, it's important that we get you some more public relations. We get these people to start talking to you. And you got to have your folks calling them, too, because this is a state that understands the political game as far as the media goes pretty clearly, and they play it well, whereas they might think that you won't pick up the phone and call the Star and Tribune. You won't call the Pioneer Press. And I mean, even like Angela Davis. I've been begging Angela Davis via Twitter and some other things not to be on her show, but stop having the same old tired Negroes on her show all the time.
Right.
Okay? There are other voices out there, you know, and she's totally ignoring them. And I mean, what can you do? I mean, really, we don't own any media here, our mainstream big things, you know? And the media that we do have, if you disagree with one of the black newspapers or don't buy ads with them, they will not run anything for free for you. They won't even do a story. And most of the times, they're not even going to do a story unless you're planning on buying some ads with them.
I only got in one of those papers, which I read. I have lessons with the Insight and the spokesman with my students, current events. And I only got in the one paper once in the background of a press conference.
Okay. Well, we're coming to the
care about me.
We're coming to the end of the program. We're 59 minutes,
all right.
16 seconds into the anchor program. I'd like to thank everybody for listening. I'm going to have Tiffany back. She's running for Congress in St. Paul, 4th Congressional District. I appreciate you being here. In less than 30 seconds, can you give me the URL or the address to your website?
Yes. Thank you very much. www.let-us-rise.org.
There you have it. This is great. You were listening to
Tiffany.
Donate. Thank you very much, Miss Tiffany Flynn Forslund, for being
Thank
with
you.
Me tonight on The Last Question. Ooh, that was tight.
Was it good?
Don't go anywhere.